And I think I was discussing kind of in the middle of discussing two things which I want to pull together. One was Rashi's comment, or at least it seems like it's Rashi's comment, that the belief in Tchiyas HaNesim is, that for the belief in Tchiyas HaNesim, it's not sufficient that one believe in it, per se, but that, this be, perceived also as something which is anchored in Torah Sheh B'Ksav itself. And the question is, what exactly does that mean? And we started investigating several perspectives regarding that. I want to get back to that in just a second. And then Agav, we were discussing the Tshuva of the Rajba, which is very important in general for clashes between philosophy and Masorah, or Mechkar and Masorah, as the case may be. The Rajba also weighs in on a lot of the issues pertaining to Pshuto Shel Mikra and Pshuto Shel Chazal, consistent with some of the things that he says also in his Perushim on the Haggadah. So in the context of that, the Rajba zeroes in, doesn't directly confront Rashi's question whether it's critical that you believe not only in the institution of Tchiyas HaMeisim, but also that it's Merumah's Bakra, Torah Shebatzav. He doesn't relate to that aspect of it directly, but he does make a very strong point of the fact that although the psukim could have been read, any of the psukim could have been read differently, the fact that there is a Masorah, and that part of that Masorah was also to connected to the psukim, means that we also believe that that is the intention of the psukim themselves. And that is a very important idea, both on a Parshanut level and a Masorah level, but I wanted to suggest that it also overlaps with Rashi's idea in addition. And that, I think, what he means in this paragraph when he says that, 1 second, Upamim, he takes Tchiyas HaMeisim as kind of the paradigm, for clashes between nature, let's say, and the Sorah, or philosophical understanding and a religious tradition.
And the example that he brings is Keinyan Tchiyas HaMeisim She'en Ksuvim Muchrochim Bo Hechreach Nechtach V'yesh Lefaresh Kol HaMikraot B'derech Mashal Kinyan HaMikraot Shebo Yoter Mivuarim B'inyan Meisei Yecheskel Ela She'echricham Hechreach HaKabbalah HaMefursemeth Ba'uma U'bemokom Hazeh Yodesh HaKabbalah Tevatel HaChakira Pilosofit V'oz Tiyelanu Hora Mimenu She'en Mashkichem B'Chakira Keneged HaKabbalah L'fi She'chachmas Hashem L'malem Mechkiraseinu V'kacha Yikra Lanu Min Adin B'chol Davar She'esh Kabbalah B'yad Azkenim V'Azkenos Me'amenu V'lo Nistar Kabbalah Sam Rak Achar Kiyum She'eno Be'efshar Chalila. Right? Lama Nistar Kabbalah Sam Vein Kabbalah Poshetet Biyad Amenu Rak Shekiblos Om Dorach Ardor Ad Moshe Rabbeinu O Ad Hanavim Upamim Yeh Hoinyan Ahu Nirmaz Bakatu V'lo Shir HaRemez Ahu Muchrach Rak Tachritenu HaKabbalah V'yitameit Inyan HaKatuv Ima Kabbalah U'kinin Shamarti B'tchiyas HaMeisim. And then again he repeats in the end, Elash Ima Kabbalah HaAmitit Nodai Tzleinu Shenirmaz HaInyan B'mokom Ahu. So this is a very important and a very balanced perspective, both about the bigger question of how you navigate between like objective, scientific, philosophical, linguistic evidence that seems to deny fantastical or supernatural things that have their roots in Masorah. And how you navigate or negotiate that with belief and Masorah itself. So the Rajba basically is taking a very balanced stance by saying that when there's no contradiction between the two, we certainly apply very broadly the concept of mashal and a non-literary reading. We'll do that in order to sustain, right, the coexistence of science, philosophy on the one hand, and belief, traditional interpretation on the other. But at the same point, whenever this becomes a matter of a tenet, something that is really a mesorah, so then not only will we, you know, unhesitatingly or unreservedly, enthusiastically embrace the mesorah, but we'll also, it's important also at that point to believe that that is the pshat in the psukim as well. So I'm just going back to the Rashi idea for a moment. Again, the Rashba isn't relating to it, but I think it's an interesting parallel and overlap, and that is that it's not enough to just believe, you know, that Yitzias HaMesim is a concept, you know, in the Torah. When Chazal, believed that it was rooted in the Mikra, even though there are ways to read it differently, and we might even acceptably have, you know, preferred those other ways had this not been a Mesorah. Nonetheless, part of the commitment of belief is not limited to, you know, just embracing the idea. It's also kind of embracing the perspective on Parshanut and the idea that this is ingrained or inscribed also in Torah Shebichtav. And that's really what the Rashba is saying. Just before I go back to Rashi for a moment, the Rashba goes on, you know, to again to continue to balance this dialectic that he, you know, so effectively develops, and he says that just because we, meaning the Jewish tradition, which we fully accept as emes amito shel Torah and even being betocha Torah, that's unequivocal in the Rashba. But just because we take that stance, he says, doesn't mean that we should be dismissive of other cultures, right, who don't have our commitment, right, and who perceive things differently. Again, very open-minded. V'ani eini ma'ashim achad min ha'pilosofim bivatlam ha'inanim ha'ele kulam lefi shelo yachrichem davar nevui v'lo kabalas chacham v'chachmeyam. Right? He says, just because we believe something to be true is not a reason to ridicule or to even be dismissive of those people who don't have this traditional foundation, and therefore, because of their, because of lack of balance, they take, we'll call it the more traditional or natural or scientific perspective. And he even equates that tolerance, which I think is fascinating, with the accommodation that we would have made, you know, had it not been imposed upon us, right, to believe otherwise, if the evidence wasn't overwhelming. Kmo shelo aashim echad mibnei amenu b'sheino mefarish k'tzas min aksuvim kipshuteyem l'ischai v'etzlo ki hu mashal mibnei sheinyan rachok etzlo l'fi hanachat haseichel v'lama nashim oso al kacha al korchenu yesho lehodot v'harbe mekomot shedivrei aksuvim derech mashal. In other words, just because we believe in miracles, and we believe in them as an absolute without a reservation, that's part of being a religious personality, is to have that acceptance of your tradition. But it doesn't mean that we should be dismissive of people who, because they don't have any basis for such belief, interpret things in a very different way. He's comparing the leeway that religious people have when there is no clear mesorah to interpret psukim or doctrines in a manner that is compatible, you know, with scientific inquiry or with other linguistic evidence. Two, in circumstances where we have a Mesorah, you know, which is decisive, but it's not a Mesorah that is shared by others. So in terms of being dismissive or ridiculing or just not even having, you know, the capacity to understand where these other people are from and being intolerant of their views, the Rajba is arguing that you should equate these two things, which is very liberal, I'll say, very fascinating. And then he goes on to say, V'yosemizeh, shenamin af, sheyivru latid, kapayim latzayar. There are many things that we say are not literal, and therefore we shouldn't be dismissive of their non-literal interpretations, even when, factually, we believe them to be completely incorrect. And then he goes on to say, but then he repeats again, of course, that doesn't mean in any way that we are less firm or less committed in our beliefs. Again, the things that he quotes as things that are from other people's point of view or from a philosophical, scientific point of view, you know, are things that you might be incredulous about. How can God speak to man? And then he goes into specific things, even the tzivuyim themselves. If we didn't have them as Mesorah, right, you might not accept them. V'yitzav al minias achilas achazir, hanevela, hacharisha b'sharu b'chamor, yitzav al hashkita min hatzavor, all things that are obviously, you know, religiously mandated, not so much logically. Uklal kol mitzvos, kizek kulam min animna etzlam. V'im kol ze, einanu mashkichim b'divreim klal, l'datenu, shachakira l'mata min hanevua b'emet. Okay, Mishadan Klal Bidvarmela Bisichlo Mitzad Hakiraso, Umavata Kosha Tavatela Hakira Henoshit, Levad Mitzad Shu Ish, Mitzad Darkeateva, Sivala Alava Katuv, and this is another original interpretation of the Rajba. Last time we talked about you know, his comment on Edus Hashem Nemana Machimas Pasi. That was an original interpretation. So now he has an original interpretation for Ki lo machshivosai machshivoseichem velo darkechem dirachai. So he says that's what it means. Neum Hashem ki gavu shamayim me'aretz ken gavu darkai midarkechem u'machshivosai mimachshivoseichem. Pesukim in Yeshaya. Perusho etzli lo gva makom rak gva mala. Hamashal baze kinyane ha'aretz asharnu mutba'im bo hovim. Because you know, physical things are not are complex, right, and therefore they're nitan lehefsed. Aval shamayim pshutim, okay, lo yasigem hashinui betivam elim yichadesh lehem achidush vachiluf mishu baram yisale v'alkein ein lehem dimyon. Val derech hazev yoter mizeh yesh lanu ladun bein machshavoseinu udrachenu ubein machshavosav udrachav. As opposed to the Rabbanu Shalom. Amar Chacham, ki ha'alokim b'shamayim v'ata al-aretz, al-kein yu divarecha ma'atim. So basically what he's saying is, there are two types of logic. There's a human logic, there's an earthly-bound logic, and then there is a spiritual logic, right, a heavenly logic, and, you know, every religious person has, you know, access to that by means of belief and Mesorah. But we should acknowledge, you know, that for people who don't, or in circumstances where that isn't a muchrach, that, you know, that the idea of trying to accommodate philosophy and religion is an acceptable alternative. And then he finally takes a shot at science and mechkar a little bit too. He says, you know, we shouldn't also over-exaggerate. Even in situations where we don't have a Mesorah, and certainly, you know, so that there shouldn't be any kind of second guessing, the authority of contemporary or prevailing science and knowledge, because that's something which is always in flux. There's a couple of interesting lines. La'od el ha'shaf mitzad ha'kakira Ein lanu ladun levatel davar shechakiras chacham nachachamim bechayeh bitulo im yesh biadenu kabal al kiyumo. V'lama nismoch al chakiras chachamahu v'ulai chakiraso kozeves mitzad miyut yediyaso be'inyan ahu. How do we know that he knows everything? He has the full picture. Rashba is one who, in another tshuva, you know, once said that, you know, kol mi she'eni odeya, she'eni odeya, I think we mentioned this earlier in the year, right, eni odeya klum. So this idea of humility, you know, aside from tradition, just in the area of prevailing culture and knowledge, is an important theme in the Rashba's general hashkafa. V'ulai miyamot chacham imenu, Yigales stirad dvarav v'kiyum mashasasar ukamo shakar lechachamim shekidlu leAppleton, right? The pre-Plato, you know, people were, you know, basically critiqued by, and you know, replaced by Plato in Appleton. B'shakar leAppleton im Aristo Talmido habaachra v'amar sheish, right? Riv laamet imo. The Eini Omer Shenismoch Al Adin Hazeh LaHachsiv Koma Sheyomar Kol Chacham, and this is again the Rashba's, you know, incredible balance. In other words, he's not saying, I'm not being dismissive, you know, of prevailing science. I'm not saying that it's all in flux and unreliable, because we do, as, you know, people who live in the world and in whatever era or generation we live, of course we take seriously, you know, the prevailing assumptions about truths. We should be a little bit skeptical, but we also shouldn't be, you know, too skeptical, because this is the world in which we live, and this is the best information at our disposal. So he has, again, this very perfectly balanced view. Eni omer shenismoch al din zeh laachsiv kol ma sheomar kol chacham, kilo amarnu chein haya ksilut be'emet. That would be also stupidity. Ach ani omer, the makom sheish mitzvah or afilu kabbalah, right? Ein midin ha'emes levatel kabbalah. It's not truth versus kabbalah, because the makom, the counter evidence of the kabbalah, right? We can be confident, you know, that the truth is not, you know, absolute or totally objective. Mipnei divrei chachamahu minatzad ze shamarti. And then he goes on to discuss the issue itself of, you know, how do you know that the world, you know, is not eternal, and that's not our topic in the moment. Yeah.
Is the Rashba only saying that we have to be tolerant to those who are siding with philosophy over a religious view because they don't know better, or is he also saying that we have to be tolerant of those who have a different religious belief, and the reason why they have the different religious belief is because they don't have Avraham Soto? Or is he exclusively saying to be tolerant of those who are basing themselves in science and philosophy?
No, he's saying that those people who are not, he's not being, you know, liberal in understanding within Jewish tradition. He's not saying that Jews have the right to, you know, to be dismissive of Masorah. He's very strong on that. What he is saying is that, you know, people of other cultures and other religions, right, who are dismissive of our interpretations, right, that's not something that is incomprehensible to us, or that we should be, you know, mocking or you know, or misconstruing.
Right.
Because since they don't have, you know, this, they don't share the sense of authority that we perforce, you know, enthusiastically embrace about Chazal and Masorah, you know, and Torah, and so on, from their points of view, it's not much different than if there was leeway, you know, because it wasn't a matter of Masorah, and there would be a range of how to interpret, you know, Psukim or some of these phenomena. You understand? That's an interesting equation. What he's saying is, within religion, when something is not a dogma, right, and there's a range, you know, then, and we don't have a clear Masorah, let's say, even if we have difference of opinion, so, you know, the idea that you can interpret symbolically, you know, metaphorically, as a mashal and so on, is accepted and legitimate. Right? Sometimes it's right and sometimes it's wrong, but it's certainly not inherently wrong, and sometimes it's even correct. And so, too, people who don't share your religious authority, not Jews, non-Jews who don't accept, you know, your religious authority, it's quite understandable that they're not going to take your word for it, and that, you know, from their point of view, they're going to be dismissive of these traditions.
When they're dismissive of the traditions, they're dismissive in favor of philosophy and science and rational thought.
Correct.
Do we have to be tolerant of those who are dismissive of our opinions, not because of rational
Oh, because of their own traditions?
Because of their own religious traditions.
He doesn't relate to that in this tshuva. That's an interesting question. I think in terms of understanding or putting yourself in the position of those people, the answer is probably not. But, you know, that has nothing to do with, you know, perceiving these positions as acceptable from our point of view. It's more an attitudinal question. Again, he did have a line, which I learned last week, of, you know, that this is the perspective, this idea that Kabbalah or Nevuah, you know, always trumps Chakira or Philosophia, right, is something, here it is, the Cholsha Kabbalah or Nevuah Heinachto lo tinatzchenu ha-chakira, ki ha-chakira lemata min ha-nevua. Zed davar barur lo yistapek bo echad mi balei hadatot, kol shekein balei hadat ha-amitit ke-amenu. Which I thought was very fascinating. He was saying this is a phenomenon that isn't unique to Judaism, right? Part of being a religious person, a man of faith, is that, you know, you believe in Nevuah and in, you know, traditions, and you know, that is something that's such an unshakable conviction, you know, that defines your, you know, personality or your purpose in life, and as such you're always going to say that as much as you admire, you know, objective knowledge or inquiry, right, that, you know, that it's inferior to religious knowledge. So that was an acknowledgement of other... That's basically a phenomenon, you know, of all religions, basically what he said. But, you know, so I'm guessing that in terms of, you know, the attitudinal question, you know, there's not much of a difference between those two things. But there's not so much of a nafkamina either. It's more of a question of, you know, how you relate to such people. Okay. Anyway, so that is the Rajba. That's what I wanted to get from the Rajba. So having said that, let's go back to the Rashi. I think this is the idea that Trias HaMesim in particular is emblematic of this, approach. That Trias HaMesim really, more so than the other Ikari Amuna even, really tests this question of faith and tradition, right? Especially when it clashes with natural law. And I think that's also what Chazal meant, you know, in when they say that, you know, one of the sources for Trias HaMesim, you know, is Oz Yashir Moshe, Shor Lo Nemar Ela Yashir, right? And Mikan the Trias HaMesim in the Torah. And it's connected, of course, with, you know, what comes before it, which is, you know, Vayaminu Bashem Uve Moshe Avdo. Trias HaMesim, which is what, one of the things why the Rajba singled it out, and this I think comes across very clearly in the Rambam's Igeres Trias HaMesim, which I want to talk about a little bit also, is a particularly important exemplar of this clash, and therefore the test of faith, and I think that that's another reason, you know, why it achieved the prominence. Like, why is Trias HaMesim dafka, you know, one of the Kare Emuna more than, you know, some other belief, let's say. But I think light of the Rajba, at least you could argue, because it really tests this whole methodology, which is essential to any religious person's raison d'etre and his approach to living in the world. And again, if people were dismissive, you know, of, you know, empirical evidence, or science per se, then the fact that they, you know, cling, you know, to religious belief and tradition would actually, ironically, you know, be less impressive. But because you are open and tolerant, you know, of other perspectives, and especially, you know, committed mostly to a rational, you know, way of living, so then the capacity
to enthusiastically, you know, embrace and with, you know, total conviction, Maisa Nisim, things like Tchias HaMesim, you know, that becomes all the more a statement, which is, you know, which itself is an Ikar Be'emuna, perhaps. Again, I'm speculating, but I think that this is at least possible. So getting back to the Rashi, who said that it's important not only to believe in Tchias HaMesim, but to believe that it's part of Torah Shebichtav. I think we said last time that there are, you know, several things that you could say, and I want to elaborate it because I think it overlaps with what we just talked about in the Rashba. Number one, the fact that it is something is, you know, anchored in evidence and maybe demonstrable, whether it's in terms of psukim, is a higher madrega, as we discussed. I think that was Ellie's suggestion. I once recall seeing a very interesting comment by Rabbi Chalap's grandfather. I don't remember if he showed it to me or someone else showed it to me. That he was talking about, you know, the importance of proofs of the existence of the Ribbono Shel Olam, which of course are commonplace in medieval works. You know, Psagigon and Rambam, of course, and Chovas HaLevavos, right? They're very standard. And the point that he made was, and it's certainly implicit in the Rambam's own discussion, as well as in Rabbi ibn Pekuda's discussion in Chovas HaLevavos, that somehow the level of belief, and this is what Eli was referring to, the belief itself is made more concrete in a way, you know, by being able to demonstrate it. The expression that struck me, though, which I thought was an additional dimension to this, was that Rav Chalap used the expression, you know, that this is like a bitui, this is a kind of an additional gilui shechina. If you just believe, so that's one thing, but if you kind of concretize your belief or you connect it to something concrete, either because you demonstrate it philosophically or you connect it, you know, to other things, you reinforce it by connecting it. So in a way, you manifest its presence, you know, more intensively. And in that sense, not only believing in something, but anchoring it, you know, in either logic or in psukim, is a different kind of belief. So that's number one. Number two is the idea that you have to believe it betoras, a religious belief, and not simply betoras something that, you know, that is a fact. Now, if you became convinced of Tchias HaMesim, you know, purely scientifically, so maybe it would, you know, it would be, you know, it would be something that you embraced as a truth, but it wouldn't have any religious significance. And that, of course, echoes the famous comment of the Rambam in Hilchos Mamrim, right, where the Rambam says that Perek Ches Halacha Yud Aleph, that, you know, Bnei Noach, this is the Chiddush of the Rambam, Hilchos Melachim, sorry, Perek Ches Halacha Yud Aleph, where the Rambam says that Kol HaMekabel Sheva Mitzvos Bin Nizar La'asos An Arezim B'chaside Umas HaOmam. He says, "V'hu shekibelo sam yaso sam mipnei shetziva b'hena Kadosh Baruch Hu the Torah v'hu di'anu al yidei Moshe Rabbeinu, right? She bnei Noach mikodem nitzavu b'hem. Avelim asan mipnei achrei adas ein ze ger toshav." And then there are different gersos. Either eino michasidei umos haolam v'lo michachameim, or ein ze ger toshav eino michasidei umos haolam. That's different girsos in the language of the Rambam. Kesef Mishnah notes that he doesn't really have a makar for this. He says, "Nirali Shabeinu Omer came misfar denafshe unechochahi." He likes it, but he points out that it's not obvious. It certainly isn't obvious. Again, what could have made the case that if a person comes to the Shabbat Bnei Noach on the basis of his own logic, that he's more attached
to it. Of course, the problem is, you know, then it's not a necessarily a religious obligation, and it's not how he, you know, expresses himself as an Ovid Hashem. It's just, you know, for the sake of efficiency, or you know, it's humanly rooted, and it's still very admirable that he has a sense of, you know, this code of, you know, whether it's justice or loyalty. You know, we could go through the Shev Mitzvotei Noach, but we don't need to right now. It's certainly very admirable, and it implies a certain, you know, deep rootedness. But at minimum, it's lacking, you know, in terms of, you know, being mitzuvah v'ose as opposed to eina mitzuvah v'ose. But more than that is that it's, you know, it's not, I wouldn't say it's self-worship, but it's not worship of the Ribbono Shel Olam either. I think a part of what Rashi's saying is that it's important that Tchiyas HaMeisim not only be acknowledged as something which is true, but that it be acknowledged as a religious truth. And part of that is it being rooted in Mikra. But I think that the rootedness in Mikra goes to the third point, something which I already mentioned and which I want to elaborate a little more, and that is, how do we look at specifically Tchiyas HaMeisim? But, you know, anything parallel to it also. Maybe there's a certain hierarchy that is implied by the source of different halachos, and in some cases, doctrines or tenets. Again, Moshe Lamad Davidomer, on the halachic side of it, as we've discussed many times, right, we've talked about, the last year, we've talked a lot about the Rambam Shita of Divrei Sofrim, right, the idea that there are Rishonim who understand that, you know, we've mentioned this many, many times, including this year, that limudim are just basically giluye milsa. In other words, just a way of establishing the facts. And sometimes Rashi and Tosas came to the sugya of Kiddushe Kesef and others, you know, say things like, you know, it doesn't matter whether something is mefurish bakra, it doesn't matter whether it's learned out from a drasha, it doesn't matter whether it's just a Kabbalah or halacha l'moshe misinai. In the end of the day, what we're interested in knowing is whether or not it's obligatory, whether it has the status and stature of a chiyuv, of a nisar, and that certainly is one approach. But certainly the Rambam's view, and probably the view of many other mefarshim as well, is that the mode of deriving or extracting, you know, certain information, right, is not immaterial, and it's not coincidental. Again, that doesn't mean that we can always penetrate, no divine wisdom, it's divine wisdom, and sometimes we fall short. But at least what we might conclude is that there really is a hierarchy. And in the world of halacha, you know, that certainly seems to be the case. Again, with regard to the Rambam's Divrei Sofrim, it's certainly true. And we know that even things that are, two things that are deraisa, sometimes it matters whether they're derived mefurish bakra, or in some other way. Just to give two examples very quickly, some of the rishonim, some of the achronim, suggest that the din of mujba v'yomed, you know, ein shvua chala al shvua. So if a person is nishba l'kayim is a mitzvah, we say he doesn't violate the shvua because he's mujba v'yomed. Ein shvua chala al shvua. So the Ran in Nedarim and Afches says that's only true if something is mefurash, you know, in Torah Shabbatzav. But if it's derived from either a drasha, perhaps, there are different views of this, or maybe from Nach, right? Even though it's true, but we don't say muj bavyome. And some of the Nosa Kalim suggest that for the Rambam and Hilchos Shavuos as well. The Rambam talks about Chatzishir in certain cases. Sounds like he doesn't think that Chatzishir is considered to be Nishba L'kayim Misa Mitzvah. And I think the Radvaz, or the Kesa Mishnah, have this, they have different, slightly different formulations of it, but they suggest that this idea that, you know, there's a difference between something which is Mefurash Bakra, right, and something which is derived you know, from a drasha. Okay, that could just be a technicality, right? You know, talking about whether it's a nishba v'omed mehar Sinai, but it doesn't seem so. It seems like it's more a reflection of a hierarchy. And even in Chatzishir itself, is some would suggest that there's a difference between Chatzishir of something which is mefurish bakra and a Chatzishir of something which is, you know, derived from a drasha. When it comes to safek, we sometimes know that, you know, a safek, you know, something that's in mikra is treated one way, and something that is derived from a drasha is treated in a different way. I'm just trying to highlight that, you know, the fact that certain things are mefurish bakra and other things are not, that it's anchored in Torah Shebetzav itself, may reflect a certain hierarchy. And I think that very possibly might be what Rashi has in mind here as well. And then going back to the question, you know, that we mentioned a couple weeks ago, and that is, Tchias HaMesim, as one of the Yugimel Ikari Amuna of the Rambam, right, is a necessary belief. We have a Mesorah that, you know, you have to believe that. A, that it's true. B, that you have to believe it. Also, because it plays an important role philosophically, right, in understanding Yahadus. Right? Certainly, some of the other Yugimel Ikari Amuna are not just truths and not just necessary truths, but they play an outsized role in you know, the Hashkafas Olam, in the Weltanschauung of what it means, you know, to be an Obed Hashem and a Ben Torah. So the question is, what about Tchias HaMesim min HaTorah? And here, you know, we encounter like a very interesting issue, which revolves a lot on, you know, the Rambam's, you know, own perspective. As I mentioned, the Rambam counts Tchias HaMesim as the 13th of the Ikari Amunah, but he says very little about it. You know, when he elaborates the 13 principles, you know, he's very terse, very short. When he speaks about Tchias HaMesim, he says Kidabiyarnu. He speaks about, you know, he makes reference to what he said earlier in the Hagdama, you know, to the Karim and Chelek. And again, he mentions it in Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Gimel, as is well known. But the Rambam was accused of kind of downplaying or de-emphasizing. Some people accuse the Rambam of really denying Tchias HaMesim. And the Rambam was forced to write the Igeres Tchias HaMesim, and maybe we'll read parts of it next week. I see today I'm not going to get to it. But the Rambam was forced to write Igeres Tchias HaMesim in order to redress that, you know, misconception that he either didn't believe in it or didn't believe it was one of the Ikari Amunah. The Rambam protests, you know, again and again, even before Igeres Tchias HaMesim, then certainly in Igeres Tchias HaMesim, he gives the whole history of why he's writing this thing, and he says, I just don't get it. You know, I wrote that this is, you know, a true belief. I wrote that it's one of the Yugimel Ikari Amunah, you know, absent, there, you know, you can't achieve or attain, you know, the Schara of Olam Haba. I couldn't have been more explicit, you know, if I had tried. It is true, he says, that, you know, I wrote, you know, in Hilchos Melachim that, you know, the Melech HaMashiach doesn't have to be somebody who does miracles, and he doesn't have to be somebody who, you know, resurrects, you know, the dead, who's Mechaye Nesin. He said maybe, you know, some convoluted reader, you know, could have read that, you know, to mean that I don't believe in Tchias HaMesim, but it's not what I said. I just said that the Melech HaMashiach doesn't have to be the one, you know, to trigger that or to accomplish that. He says, I couldn't have been more explicit, even though I was terse about it. And, you know, it's strange, you know, that there's all this controversy. He says, but since, you know, there's been controversy about Tchias HaMesim, and he, you know, cites several incidents, and some of the people who have denied Tchias HaMesim have invoked my authority, both with regards to Midrashim in general and how literal, you know, they are,
or in some cases, how metaphorical. You know, they've invoked both my authority and my methodology, which admittedly is used elsewhere, you know, to justify their view. So I finally, you know, feel like, you know, even though, you know, through no fault of my own, says the Rambam, it's, you know, it's time to make the, to, you know, set the record, you know, absolutely clear and straight. And that's what Igeres Tchias HaMesim is all about. But if you look very carefully, even in the very beginning of Igeres Tchias HaMesim, the Rambam starts off by saying, because he said like this, he starts off by saying, this is a fascinating, you know, phenomenon, right? Because I set out to accentuate what I felt was a very neglected area, you know, in Hashkafa, namely Skar ve'Onesh and the notion of Olam Haba. He says, you know, and the idea that the ultimate reward is an incorporeal one. He said, I felt that that was very neglected, that people, you know, misunderstood it, that not enough people embraced it. You know, so I set out to, you know, emphasize that. And, you know, irony of ironies, you know, people took that that project, you know, and they twisted it, you know, ke'ilu, I rejected, you know, the self-evident and universally, you know, accepted and previously understood and uncontroversial Tchias HaMesim, right? And so, you know, because people have, you know, come to this wrong conclusion, right, it's time to, you know, to be absolutely unambiguous, you know, about all of this. That's how the Rambam begins, you know, this this whole discussion. He goes on then, you know, to discuss the fact that, you know, one of the reasons that he was so concerned about Schar Va'onesh and its incorporeal nature is because, you know, he's encountered, you know, other wise, intelligent, and committed individuals who believe that the Ribbono Shel Olam is physical or material being, or who believe that, you know, Schar Ba'olam Haba, you know, has a, you know, physical aspect to it, a guf, and maybe even, you know, physical components of the Schar. And since he thinks that those two things are fundamentally wrong, right, one is itself a contravention of Ikari Emunah, the other one is just plain, in his opinion, ludicrous, you know, even if it isn't an Ikar Emunah. So he felt it was very critical to, you know, to accentuate this idea of Schar Va'onesh and the true nature of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And, you know, people took from there that he was negating any kind of physical or literal reading of the Psukim of Tchias HaMesim and the corporeal aspect of it. And that's what he's here to, you know, to correct. So I think what's so fascinating about it all is, you know, just an interesting, you know, presentation, number one. But, of course, what it may highlight is something that, you know, that really is true for the Rambam. And this is what I alluded to a couple weeks ago, and that is that for the Rambam, it is fair to say that the role of Tchias HaMesim, albeit as one of the Yud Gimel Ikari Emunah, is not comparable, right, to the role of Schar Va'onesh and the idea of the incorporeality of the ultimate Schar Va'onesh. So that, again, in the continuation in the Maimar in the Igeres of Tchias HaMesim, the Rambam says also that, you know, it's, you know, while Schar Va'onesh Ba'olam Haba is something which is muchrach philosophically, you know, in addition to being anchored, you know, in Bekoros, you know, Tchias HaMesim is not a necessity philosophically, but it is a traditional truth and one which is important enough, you know, to qualify as an Ikari Emunah. What I'm trying to say is that when he is tracing, right, the source of the confusion, A,
And B, even now in his presentation, the Rambam is kind of acknowledging that Tchiyas HaMesim, while being true, is a little bit out of sync, right, with the focus of Schar V'Onesh and of Yahadus in terms of the ultimate reward. And as such, it achieves the status of truth, right, but not necessarily the centrality as a component of belief that other Yud Gimel Ikari Amuna do. And I wonder whether or not that itself is not part of the dispute, or that doesn't underlie, you know, not only the confusion and the misconstruing of his position, but maybe that also underlies, you know, part of the debate that other Rishonim have with his perspective. The Rambam goes on in his Igeres to develop the idea that Tchiyas HaMesim is a temporary state. In other words, there is life, there is death, somehow connected with Yemos HaMashiach, which will be an idyllic period, although the Rambam paskens like Shmuel that Ein Bein Olam Hazeh Yemos HaMashiach Ela Shibud Malchios Bilvad, there'll be no, you know, fundamental, you know, natural change in the world, but it'll be time of political stability and harmony conducive to spiritual growth, but in a natural way. And the Brahman believes that that period is also going to be the period, or is connected with the period of Tchiyas HaMesim, which will usher in a very long era. We're short a little bit on details, as the Rambam admits, in which, you know, souls are reunited with their physical hosts. The Rambam says that philosophically, unquestionably, Yahadus believes that that is possible and is going to happen, even though otherwise you might have thought that it would be impossible if it wasn't the Besorah, again, echoing the later criteria of the other Rishonim. And the Rambam says that that will last for a long period of time, but then at a certain point the physical body will terminate, and then there will be an Olam HaNeshamos, an Olam Haba, which will be the ultimate time of Schar V'Onesh. The idea that that ultimate Schar, you know, being Nena Miziv Ashkina, would be in a state of physicality, says the Rambam, is ludicrous and absurd. He uses very strong language. The idea that the Ribbono Shel Olam would build and sustain a body which had no function because the, you know, the reward is purely intellectual and spiritual, is an insult to the concept of divine design, says the Rambam. As you know, other Rishonim disagreed with the Rambam. Earlier, of course, from Sajigon, and then later, the Ramban in his Shar HaGmul, and others, who believe that even though the benefits or the rewards are spiritual, that the, you know, the physical shell is something on some level, the Ramban has kind of a compromise view, which we'll discuss, continues at that point in time. So it raises the question, you know, whether or not the Rambam's limited view of Tchiyas HaMesim as an interim period, and his, you know, orientation, which caused him initially, in his own estimation, right, to overcompensate on behalf of Schar V'Onesh Ba'olam Haba, and which continues to prevail in his presentation, even in Igaris Tchiyas HaMesim, of the limitations of Tchiyas HaMesim, whether that doesn't really kind of convey exactly this idea, the idea that he himself expresses, which is that Tchiyas HaMesim, while true, right, is not a central theological or theologically significant a doctrine. Whereas for other Rishonim, it's quite possible that Tchiyas HaMesim is equated with Olam Haba, which sounds from the Mishnah and the Gemara, we'll discuss that next week also. Moreover, it kind of enhances the role of physicality in the Weltanschauung
of Torah mitzvos more generally. So I want to speak about that and then the other rayas in the Gemara for Tchiyas HaMesim next week, but I also want to speak about the Rishonim's different views of Tchiyas HaMesim and how it fits in.
What about if you stop the...